What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 642 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. And we are back. Lots of news to cover. We have Twitter being rebranded to X. We got Logitech by Stream Deck rival Loop Deck. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Danielle, so please correct me. And we can jump right into the conversation. San Diego Comic-Con, that happened, right? I saw some Halo Infinite news. Multiplayer League joins Bungie. So we can jump right into the conversation. Danielle, how are you?
I'm doing good. In a bit, but I'm good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good to hear from you, as always. But yeah, so do you want to do, it's up to you. Do you want to do San Diego, San Diego Comic-Con at the top, or what are you thinking?
Whatever you're feeling.
So San Diego Comic-Con 2023, there was some news that came out of that for sure. So yeah, let's talk about that. Any reactions or things that you saw? Any headlines that caught your attention from San Diego Comic-Con? I can't say Diego today. Okay, anything that caught your attention from there?
I'm just happy to see it going out all out in full swing, and to see everybody's pictures that they're putting up on Twitter or Threads or Instagram, TikToks about just being there. Totally jealous, but it's nice to see like kind of this, I guess you could say, return to normalcy.
Right.
This pandemic somewhat. But right. Of the stuff that's coming out there that really like I gravitate towards, obviously I'm really stoked to see a release date for Borderlands. That's August 9th of 2024. So I'm really stoked about that. I totally know what I'm doing for my 40th birthday next year, finding a movie theater to watch that in. That's because everybody's been waiting for that, and I'm pretty excited. And then, of course, there was the trailer for One Piece, which is a series that has so many episodes. And for a serial binger like myself, I'm still not through all of it. I need to take breaks like every 20 episodes or something like
that. How many do they have, though?
Over 1,000.
That's crazy. And how long are the episodes? 20 minutes? 22?
Roughly around there, 25 minutes or so.
Okay.
But like, I can't. I mean, the story is really good. It's really fun to watch. And so to see this movie, and I will not say like I'm the like ultimate One Piece fan. I really do enjoy it. Don't have any problems watching it. It's fun. I love the storyline. I love the characters. So seeing the trailer, I think personally it looks good. I know that it could be different when you go and watch it, but I am hopeful. I am pretty stoked on it. I like what I saw. I think they did the casting pretty well. The CG in the trailer is like, I don't think it's overdone. I think it's pretty good. So I'm definitely like excited for that. That was that. And then, you know, Peacock is giving me reasons to subscribe to them.
No, not another subscription.
I know. But then they like tease the Continental. And I kind of want to watch it because I love John Wick. So to have something to expand upon the John Wick universe, like why wouldn't I watch it? So I know it's another subscription, and that's like the hard part of it all. But I want to watch it.
No, I definitely understand that. So the last John Wick, I don't know. I was like, I wasn't sold on the last one, if I'm honest. It was okay.
Really?
Yeah, I think the choreography just threw me off. It was just like one of those things where I'm like, am I really enjoying this? Or am I just watching it because it's an installment of something I enjoyed in the past, right? I don't think I really enjoyed it as much as I thought I was going to. I'm thinking the story. The story was good. You know, I like how they ended everything towards the end, which I'm not at this point if we're spoiling anything or not, but it's just one of those things where the choreography for me was not that amazing. And I think that threw me off, and I expected more from that. I think there was a movie I saw afterwards that I was like, okay, so if this choreography was in John Wick, I would have enjoyed it, John Wick, a little bit more. But at this point, you know, I'm just being super picky. But the series is dope overall. I'm not saying that. I just didn't enjoy 4 as much as I thought I would. So yeah.
Well, I don't think when it comes to movie series, when there's quite a few of them, as it goes on, it really doesn't hit quite as hard as that first one does. But I like it. I still enjoyed it. So I totally see where you're coming from with the choreography and everything. But I still loved it. I'm still, again, not quite as good as the first one.
No.
I think it ended when it needed to end.
Yeah, it did. It did. So there's that.
To see the prequel, The Continental, to see how this came to be before John Wick, I think is definitely interesting because you have questions about it. Like, how do they come up with this?
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that. But like, you know, you have, I think, speaking of series that probably should end, The Walking Dead, they had Daryl Dixon, which Norman Reedus is a fantastic actor that I enjoy watching him. I love the character, Daryl, but I haven't, like, there got to a point in the Walking Dead series where I got tired of watching.
You got it. Fatigued, huh?
Yeah. And I figured when I took my break from watching it, I'd return to it. No. Like, I don't know. I think couple of weeks ago my son asked, thinking, you want to watch a movie? And then on Netflix it just happened to be, like, you know, suggestion, The Walking Dead, and my son even brought it up, like, we haven't watched that in a while, and bring it up. I'm like, yeah, we were both like trying to find where we left off, and I was like, yeah, just put something else on. So like, to see this trailer for The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, which apparently he somehow, don't know how, I don't need anybody explain to me, but he ends up in France, apparently, to transport or bring this child to save, I don't know, the world. Which is a story that is very similar to what's going on with The Last of Us right now.
Right.
Those zombies.
Which I still need to finish. Oh my gosh.
But I guess on the plus side, not to be like negative Nancy over here, like, Norman Reed is a fantastic actor, so I know,
yeah,
what he's
absolutely
out there is going to be great. People are going to watch it. There's still huge fans that are in this universe that love every second of it. I have no problem going back to the comics, but for some reason, when it comes to the show, I see it and I'm like, nah, I'm going to put something else on. I don't know what it is or why it just fell off. Maybe it is just fatigue. Maybe I can't say I'm tired of zombies because I'll watch horror movies. I'll watch zombie movies.
Of course.
No problem. I think it's just,
if I get bored, I'm done. That's what I'm realizing. If I'm bored, I can't watch it anymore. Whatever that is.
That could be very well it. But other than that, I know there's a lot of things a lot of people are fanning over for Comic-Con. I think for me, it was just seeing, you know, cosplayers out there, people enjoying themselves, and just, you know, this full blown event that's just going on or went on, and just people enjoying life and things that they used to do before again.
No, there's a lot of cool stuff. From San Diego Comic-Con. Star Wars Outlaws. Then you have Star Trek Strange Worlds, right? There's some trailers for that. You mentioned The Walking Dead. Also Invincible. Atom Eve trailer. So there was that. I believe that took place also. during the San Diego Comic-Con. You mentioned One Piece, which I haven't watched any One Piece anything. That might be a crime. I don't know. But Invincible Season 2, excited about that. They showed a season trailer. Did we talk about Invincible at all?
Yeah, we did when they first came out.
Have you watched it?
Not all of it yet.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, it's really, really good.
That's something I've been watching with my son. So it's kind of like here and there whenever we have times that sync up that we can like sit and relax, which just before we recorded, we had that moment where I was going to actually, really was going to watch continue on where we left off on Invincible. But then he's like, let's watch something else. I don't watch anything animated. And for the first time, we actually watched Guns Akimbo with Daniel Radcliffe, which I've been meaning to watch. It's actually a really bizarre movie, but it's like fantastic to watch if you haven't seen it yet.
Okay. So anything else on San Diego Comic-Con that got you?
I want to go again. I know there reached a point when I went 3 times and I was like, I don't think I could do this again. But seeing all these photos, I'm like, maybe I want to go through the headache and the fight and everything of getting tickets, getting a hotel to be able to go at least one more time.
Ah, for sure. It looks like a dope show. Definitely looks like a dope show.
It is. It's just hectic.
Yeah. So San Diego Comic-Con, those are our quick thoughts on the things that we saw. I think, you know what? I think I really want to jump in right into the Mortal Kombat trailer that we saw.
Okay.
And Mortal Kombat Umgadi trailer. I think that was amazing. Thoughts on that?
Their trailers are fantastic. Like the way that they bounce between telling the story that you're going to be getting with the characters and into the gameplay and the fight mechanics, and obviously the gruesome nature that is Mortal Kombat. I think they're doing a really good job of marketing and hyping it up and getting people interested and showing so much.
Right. Yeah. Although,
the fireworks is a little bit of an overkill.
The fireworks is really cool, though. I mean, it feels like every single time I watch a Mortal Kombat trailer, it might as well be a mini, you know, movie, right?
Yeah.
Because they pull you in, you know, they tell you the story about what's happening with the character. And then you get the story arc on what's going to take place. And then, as you mentioned, you get the fighting sequence. And then towards the end of the fighting sequence, you get the, you know, fatalities or whatever surprise that they show at the end. And like, if that's what we're going to get for most of the characters leading into the game, I'm sure someone is going to stitch it together and make it a mini film.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's super dope. If you haven't seen it yet, it's Mortal Kombat 1 official Umgadi trailer. And September, what was the date for? There was the date I saw that was September from the San Diego Comic-Con stuff. Was that Continental? Okay, second episode. Okay, so Continental is going to be airing September 22nd. That was the date that was in my mind. Okay, cool. So yeah, so Mortal Kombat is looking amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So I want to jump, since we're jumping around today, I want to move Twitter being rebranded, because I don't know if I have a lot of thoughts on that because of just the nature of how Twitter is. And I realize I'm not spending as much time on it as I used to, but Twitter is being rebranded to X.com. I believe is being rerouted to the Twitter website. So I'm going to actually do that in real time, X.com. And, or was it, where did I see that?
X.com.
Pardon me?
Which is X.com.
Yeah.
Which he announced, you know, via Twitter last night, I believe it was, which is Saturday night, and he went on his little tirade about it. I think there was even somewhere reported that there was I'm at a loss of words, a room that was titled No One Speak Until Elon Musk Joins.
Interesting.
I guess he went in there and they sat in silence for like an hour, and then he finally says, like, Twitter will be X.com.
Wow.
But it's very much, you know, status quo for Elon Musk, because all of the things that he's in, it has an X in it somewhere. So I don't know. I don't know about that platform. I know it's not going to die. It's not going to disappear overnight. Maybe within like 5 years, but I'm definitely getting, you know, those MySpace feels where, you know, somebody new comes in and then changes it and then nobody uses it. But right. MySpace is still around. There's obviously somebody or somewhere using it still. But that's kind of what I'm getting to. Like, you just, one day it's just no longer BNB, Twitter.com. It's just going to be X.com, where he wants this like one app platform for like everything that everybody uses. But now he's making DMs, like you can only send or have so many DMs for an unpaid user.
Right.
Which is so bizarre to me. But I'm also not willing to pay a subscription for it. So whatever is still available for the free part of Twitter, I mean, it's still a functional site. I'm definitely not on it enough to, I guess, rate limit myself. And then you have Threads, which, you know, really blew up overnight. But, you know, people are saying, oh, that's dying already. In my mind, from my perspective, it's just like everybody just quickly came to this new thing. And I gather from what is being posted about it from Zuckerberg and everything, that I don't think they expected it to blow up so quickly for something so new. Like, obviously, you're going to be stoked about it, but they're still rolling out different features, especially features that people are so used to having on Twitter. Was it an oversight for them to just not preemptively think that's going to be needed? Maybe. But they're working on it. But I don't think Threads is going anywhere. Nobody knows quite how they're going to use it yet. But I don't think it's the end-all be-all Twitter replacement at this stage. And you got to think, I mean, when Twitter originally came out, I mean, they didn't have an app. You either tweeted from your desktop browser or you texted your tweet in your, like, just like a regular standard text message. Couldn't edit those.
Right.
But, you know, and then it grew into what it is now that everybody has grown accustomed to. So I'm giving Threads its graces to take the time to establish itself to where we expect it to go. Until then, I'm kind of enjoying it. It's a little bit cleaner. I do not follow nearly as many people as I do on Twitter. So my feed, even though it's a hot mess, is not such a emotional drain to read through.
Right. No, it's I like it. I like Threads a lot. You know, just of course the ads are going to start coming in at some point, right? And just the nature of the app, yes, is similar to Twitter. And I don't know, like Twitter for me right now, when I go on there, it's more so looking for the conversations and Twitter Spaces, anything that interests me in that regard. I'm not really looking to it for news anymore. Because, you know, you have your feeds that you get your news from. And then depending on if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you get news and try to catch up with the shows that you listen to. So because of those things, I don't see myself like going on Twitter for news. I go on there for like the social audio stuff. And of course, there's still conversations that I believe that are beneficial on the Clubhouse platform when it comes to social audio. But outside of that, I am podcasting in terms of like listening. I'm listening to a lot of podcasts. And then you have YouTube, which is a good news source, especially if you have some dope folks that you follow. So there are places that we can get all that stuff. And I think that what may seem, and I'm trying to like figure this thing out for me when it comes to like the subscription stuff, as you shared for Twitter, I'm not being pulled to pay for stuff on Twitter right now. I don't know if I really care that much right now, but
I personally don't. Like, there's nothing. I don't think I can understand as a business or just a bigger brand that need that, like your Logitechs, your razors and all of them needing to pay for those things. I don't know about the DM aspect of it, but not being rate limited and not being able to, I guess, properly, what Elon's trying to prevent is people scraping data for whatever business purposes for them. But as a regular user, no. There's nothing. Don't pay for it.
Yeah, it's an interesting platform. But, you know, to be fair, you know, if I do create a piece of content on YouTube, I'm going to post it on Twitter. I'm going to post it on LinkedIn. You know, I just want to have like a balance, you know, when it comes to that stuff, where we're not like taking a dump on Twitter as if we're not on there. Right. So I do know if I see a piece of content I like, I'm going to heart it. You know, if it's someone that's going to, you know, retire after being at a company for an extremely long time, you know, we'll share our sentiments and, you know, our kind regards to whoever it may be, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So Twitter still has value. I don't know if I'm on it like that. But when it comes to some tech stuff, right? Some tech stuff that I really want to have in my studio. So I heard of Loop Deck a while ago, but I didn't realize it was a direct competitor to the Elgato Stream Deck. I didn't realize that. Did you know that? I'm going to pause there. Did you know that?
I assume all of the decks that come out, regardless of the company, they're all in competition with one another.
Yeah.
Because, so for me, you had the Stream Deck that came out that was like one piece and of hardware that was nobody had from Elgato. And then you had Helicon that came out with the Go XLR, which there's tons of mixers out there. Tons that, you know, people were using well beyond before GoXLR, and they're still like dedicated to using those very professional DJ mixer type of amps. And then GoXLR came out with theirs, which is just very user friendly. And then shortly after that, so many other companies started coming out with competitors for like the GoXLR and had coming up with their versions. And then you had the mixture between like, hey, I can actually, somebody decided, hey, we can combine both of these into a some type of deck that is user friendly, that is geared towards content creators, streamers, and market that. And then that turned into let's all go do this, which is normal in a company. It's very healthy competition. So you're going to go with the brands that you want. But what's harder is like Loop Deck. That isn't a very common, I guess you could say, brand that you would hear that somebody has. Like, you have to be really researching to see, okay, maybe I don't want to go from Elgato. Maybe I don't want to go for Helicon. What else is out there that is unique, that is different? Because that's what I think is really great about these. I'm not going to say they're no names, but they're just not common names within, you know, content creator communities. Is that they have something that's different that all these other brands don't have right now, that when it was originally created wasn't exactly in mind for streamers, but they kind of indirectly had them in mind, if that makes sense. But they're geared towards these types of content creators, and now you have them kind of meshing together and people finding it useful. So I think it's great to have these types of things. I've heard of Loop Deck here and there, definitely like through my Instagram, like sponsored advertisements, because they build up this algorithm. I'm like, oh, you're a content creator. Here's like different things that you might be interested in. So I've had this pop up on my feed before.
Yeah. So it's interesting because they have like, you know, different products on a website. They have the Loop Deck Live S, right? Psychic for streaming and productivity. Then they have the Loop Deck Live, create and stream like a pro. Then you have the CT, which is Personalized Workflow for Creative Masters. And then you have the Loop Deck Plus, which is Editing Made Easy for Beginners and Pros. So now they have a lot of things, right? More than one thing on there. Okay. Yeah. And then we recently hear that Logitech bought them.
Of course.
I mean, are we surprised? I want to hear your thoughts first. Are you surprised?
I am not. I'm not surprised, I guess. I guess when it comes to companies like Logitech or even Corsair, and they're acquiring or partnering or, you know, merging with these different companies, they're just trying to make sure they're just a step ahead of their competition. So if one company does something or is coming out with something, the other one, the competition is going to be like, hey, we need to like either, I'm sure they're probably working on something at the same time here, but whoever comes out first with it or whoever acquires the company that has the technology, their research already for it so that they can start working with them. That is not a surprise to me. I think Logitech does, well, all the companies, not just Logitech directly, but all these companies are making smart moves to make themselves, you know, the end all be all company right. to stick with. And exactly. I think with all the different mergers, I guess you could say, Logitech is making really smart moves.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out what would be the next logical move for them. What don't they have right now? So they have keyboards. They have mice. Now they have Loop Deck, right? So for me, thinking about it logically, it's going to be integrated into the Streamlabs OBS platform, right? That's not insider information, okay? That, to me, logically, that makes sense, right? You have the Streamlabs OBS, which I kind of want to talk about a little bit before we kind of move off of this conversation. So then they have the microphones, they have the keyboards, they have the mice, they have Loop Deck. What else is left based on that suite of products? So when we look at Elgato, what is the complete suite now for them? And I feel like Logitech is adding those same pieces, as you said, right, to remain extremely competitive. So what's left?
I don't know, because I could have said that about any of their previous like mergers here. And they keep surprising me of like, hey, now we have Loop Deck in our team. I don't know, unless they're going to start going into like somehow making custom PC builds easier so they acquire one of the many custom build companies.
That would be interesting. Like, what about like an audio soundboard? Because they don't have anything like that right now.
I think that could be on there.
You see what I'm saying? Because that could, wait, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. That could be on the Loop Deck or that could be on their roadmap. What do you mean?
Their roadmap.
Okay.
Or it could be something that Loop Deck is already in development for that is not been announced that Logitech is going to come out with within a year. You're like, hey.
Right. Again, this is not insider information. We're just chopping it up right now. Okay. So you're using a Go XLR right now, right?
Yeah, I still have it.
Okay. I'm using a Maono caster. So we're not using a product that Logitech has on the market that serves that need. But everything else that we've used, for the most part, they have. They have the camera, they have the microphone, they have the keyboard, they have the mice, they have the lighting, right? So there's just a couple of things missing from the suite of products. They have earbuds out, they have, you know, headphones, you name it. So far, I think clothes too, right? Because they acquired Astro, right? So they have gear. So there's a lot of different things that they have right now. So far.
And I don't see it stopping.
And yeah, I don't see it stopping either. Yeah. Controllers, I wouldn't be, well, they have controllers, right? But not like your recent type of what do you say, you know, Xbox Elite controller or a Pro BFG or, you know, a Gambit, not anything like that. They're like a standard PC controller, but nothing newer, right? Mm-hmm. So they could jump back into that game. But so a couple of things I want to hear from you. So how is your Go XLR right now? Do you feel like you're going to have to upgrade something later to replace it, or you're okay with your Go XLR? What are your thoughts on it right now?
For me right now, I'm fine with it. I'm good with it still. I have no complaints. I don't see myself needing more at the moment. Is that to change? Yeah. Ask me in a year from now. That could change. But for right now, I'm still happy with it. I've had it for a few years now. I have no complaints. It just works. And that's what I like about solid products, is that I'm good with it. Like, I still have the original Stream Deck. It's still getting all the updates. It still functions the way I want it to. I don't need the bigger one. I don't need the smaller one. I don't need to look at anything else because I don't have a problem with it. I'm not the type of person that I have to have the newest and greatest every moment. I can't. If it still works for me and I've not have any problems, I'm not going to be looking for something new at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I think that based on what I recall, just looking at the Go XLR when it was announced and all the features, it's still an extremely dope device. Now, for me, when I was looking at getting into like the audio board for the microphones, I was looking at the $700 mark items, and I needed something that just fit exactly what I needed, right? Some buttons that I could pre-program, of course, volume, maybe connect my phone to it and play music, that it powers my microphones the way it should. And whether I mentioned a product or not, the audio is great enough for you to say, hey, this is decent to listen to, right? So I wasn't looking for, of course, reverb, you know, removing noise. If there's a sidechain button on there, that's cool. Loopback would be cool. You know, so some basic things here and there, right? So when my Onocaster came out, and this is, you know, not like, you know, use promo code, blah, blah, blah. There's no word to it. I'm just sharing it, right? Because I know how, like, when you listen to podcasts, it seems like right there, they would cut and then it'll go into a commercial. We're not going into a commercial. So when I got the Monocaster, I was just like, this is dope. It fits all the things that I need. And my mics, you know, work really well with that. And, you know, it has a setting where I can adjust if I'm using like a pod mic versus a baby bottle SL or something like that. Condenser versus the other one. What's the other one? I can't think right now. So that fit, I think I paid $108 or something like that for it. And it works beautifully. No issues. You can take it on the road, et cetera, et cetera. So I like the fact that they have a device like that where the price point is good and we can get, you know, great value and great audio quality, right? Go XLR is dope. Monocaster is dope. And I'm sure there's ranges between the $200 and the $500 mark that you can get, you know, really, really good audio quality. So the point of all that is, I don't think that someone coming in needs to spend a lot of money to sound good, you know, and the room doesn't even need to be treated. If you're using a decent microphone that blocks out the noise and, you know, blah, 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 I think you should be good. So there's that. So as I was saying all that, any thoughts on that? I got one more thing.
No, I totally agree with you on all of it.
Yeah, we were in a good place, especially with pricing. Even $100 mics have come a long way, especially for streamers and content creators and stuff like that. So the Streamlabs OBS thing, I was going to mention it here. I'm trying to decide if I want to, because it might be a piece of content I create on YouTube. But what I will say, though, is that Streamlabs OBS, it wouldn't surprise me, as we were saying before, that they use the Loop Deck to have it directly integrated into the streaming, streamline the streamers process, you know, for that. And the next thing, logical thing, if they do decide to make it, would be an audio board at some point, because it seems like they have everything else on lock. So we'll see. So yeah, Any final thoughts on that?
No, I'm good. I'm solid with that.
All good. Yeah. So quick hits. Remnant 2 is getting a lot of buzz. You know, it seems like the world is huge, and people who got a chance to test it out didn't really get through a lot of it because the world is so massive. So I think that's a good sign for, games like that. Thoughts on that?
No, because I also saw that nobody has yet to see 100% of Remnant 2. So, that's a pretty big world.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, that's pretty wild. So there's that. So I wanted to throw that in for the Remnant 2 information. Next thing I saw, Halo Infinite multiplayer lead joins Bungie on Marathon. Marathon is the next time killer, right? When it comes to anything related to Bungie. So I'm excited about that. We see people move around different companies, quite often. We see people leave, we see people come back and then make adjustments to their roles and stuff like that. So I'm excited for Marathon because when they first started showing things for it, which was, I would say, a few months back at this point, it feels like, at least a couple of weeks, that they were going to go quiet. And then when they have more to show, they're going to show it later, right? So we're in quiet mode right now, not necessarily hearing or seeing anything from Marathon, but what they did show was pretty exciting for Marathon. So if the lead multiplayer for Halo is going there, then it is almost safe to say that the multiplayer is going to be pretty solid, because Halo's multiplayer is pretty solid. I'm not playing it right now, but Halo's multiplayer is pretty solid. I turned it on maybe like last week, give or take, and it is still an awesome experience. So I'm excited about things like that when it comes to games that I enjoy playing, especially from companies that continue to give a great multiplayer experience. So any thoughts there?
No, that is all you.
Yeah. So no, I'm pretty excited for that. I'm pretty excited for multiplayer stuff when it comes to the games that I enjoy playing. And Remnant, I definitely want to tap in to see what that's like when we get an opportunity to check that out. We did talk about The Walking Dead earlier on the film side of things, but The Walking Dead Betrayer will hold closed beta test next month. Any thoughts on that?
I want to try it out. I really do. I did. If you go through Steam, you can request to be a part of it. But I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to be honest. So The Walking Dead Betrayal is, you're playing with 5 to 8 people. As I've gotten older, I'm having problems just to find another person to play with. Or just, it's not like I don't have friends that don't play. It's just as an adult and you have different work schedules, different things going on in life. It's difficult. It's really, really difficult. Like I have a hard time just trying to get with my friends over Discord for our Harry Potter D&D nights. That was just like once a week. It was every Saturday, and then it turned into every other Saturday to once a month because people's schedules change.
Right.
So I want to play games that have co-op or multiplayer. I don't have time. I don't have anybody that has their life in sync with mine that we can play together.
Yeah, I noticed that too. But go ahead.
So yeah, I do want to play it because it sounds like a really interesting concept to be, you're basically, it's a co-op / social deception type of game where you have to work together to survive, but you also have a traitor amongst you that is trying to sabotage your progress. And then when you die, you can't seek revenge and just be a zombie. But it's just like that concept. I'm like, that seems really cool. That seems like fun. And then like even the art style, like that's a little bit different. It's not your typical. It's not super scary looking, but has like that looks like fun to play. I need friends. I need more friends.
Yeah, I do realize that there's a lot of solo play. I think some of it is by choice because you don't want to, especially if you're like streaming and stuff, and you don't know the people, right? So online is really interesting. There's there's a balance where you can have people and have the chat open, but sometimes they say crazy things. And I don't want to risk that, especially if I am representing any particular brand, you know, et cetera, right? Yeah. So even with the conversation of when we're talking about the Loop Deck and the Logitech stuff, because we're, you know, brand partners with Logitech, we really have to navigate how we share information, even when we're talking about Logitech as news, right?
Yeah.
Because there are information that we're privy to, and just like any brand ambassador or partner, right? And there's information that is public, and we try our best to 100% stick to the public side of things, right? So if I'm online, I'm streaming a game, and you know, you have randos and they say crazy things, you know, I get a hit for that, and I don't want that, right? So yeah, it's tough to find friends that align. I do agree with you when it comes to like gaming and stuff like that. You know, scheduling that in advance, making sure everybody's good, and you know, and they understand the industry when it comes to what you're trying to build, right? And
yep.
By impulse, they don't say whatever they want. And you know, that affects your vibe. So yeah, I definitely feel you on that. So even with the next bit of news, right? When we look at the games that are potentially leaked with their title, and it's like, do we announce that or do we not? Is that public information at that point or not? Right. So I don't know. But the logical thing is like, if you have a number two for a game, then maybe the number three one is coming out next, right? I don't know. Right. That's just logical, right? If you have Overwatch 2, then maybe the next one would be Overwatch 3. I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch, right? So I'll just leave.
Unless you're Xbox, then you just come up whatever scheme that you want.
Exactly. And, you know, it is what it is. So we definitely have one bit on Xbox before we...
Here's a spoiler. So I got tips from Sony here.
Yeah.
The next one's going to be a PlayStation 6.
You know what?
You heard it here first.
That is profound. That is profound insight. That is profound. It is. Like, so with Overwatch, okay, so what happened to Overwatch? It feels like it's not as talked about as it used to be. Is it just me?
No, it's not just you.
Okay. So what happened with Overwatch?
I don't know, because I had every intention. I'm like, okay, this new one, I'm not going to miss out on like being there day one. Life happens. I've gotten to play it like twice. But overall, I don't think I have any friends that are playing Overwatch 2. Like they played for like a solid month, and then I don't know what happened. I should ask them.
That is odd to me. It's like marketing money is not in that direction right now. So is that okay? Don't like, you know, ping me for this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Diablo and Overwatch 2, same people, right? That's Blizzard?
Yes.
Okay. So most marketing money right now is going towards Diablo, right? Because I see that everywhere.
Because everybody's hype on that. Everybody is still loving it, and that's all I see.
Yeah, I see that everywhere. So Overwatch 2 is coming to Steam next month, and more games on the way. Are you excited for anything that Blizzard has going on? If it was on the FPS, let's help each other type of environment, like your Paladins, Overwatch, et cetera, et cetera?
No. Badly, no.
Mm.
That's for me, though. I'm not saying that nobody does and nobody's on it, but for me, no, nothing that got me excited. Nothing that I'm looking forward to, at least for me personally, Blizzard.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. So I do like their animation, their shorts. I think their shorts are extremely powerful. Voice acting on their shorts are incredible. You know, we've seen that, you know, over the years. So we'll see. You know, if it's an FPS and if it's a looter shooter, I'm going to check it out, whatever it is, if they decide to do something like that at some point. But I think one of the major, if not the most anticipated title this year has to be Spider-Man 2. It has to be. It has to be. What?
Of course.
It has to be. It has to be. This is the most anticipated title. I mean, the latest trailer was absolutely incredible. And I'm pretty pumped. And I'm going to save my quarters and nickels because I want it. This is going to be the big one. So thoughts on Spider-Man 2, things that you saw. What did you think about the trailer?
The trailer is fantastic. There's no complaints. I don't think there's a single complaint from anybody. And the people who take the time to go frame by frame, second by second, to analyze these trailers, they're like, what information can we find out? What can we make from this? I love it. So,
yeah, it's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And I just find myself getting more excited for things that we're getting on Steam and things that Xbox, what they're doing with, you know, not only the Game Pass, but what's being allowed in the library for the PC side of things, right? Because I couldn't tell you the last time I turned on PlayStation 4. I couldn't even tell you. It's mm-hmm. that long ago. A long time ago. And that's not necessarily a good or bad thing. You know, you play the games where it is, you know, you play what you have, you enjoy what you have, right? And I think that as we've seen with different conversations online, people trying to tell people, you know, where they should play and not play games, which I think is silly, right? The platform is one thing and the software that powers it is another, and that could be anywhere, right? But I think that we're at a place now where I believe we've made progress. It doesn't matter where you play your game, as long as you're enjoying what you're playing.
And that's the biggest thing. And don't let anybody tell you any differently.
Yeah. So I like where we're going when it comes to that aspect of things. Of course, crossplay is going to be, you know, super dope for a lot of games. Cross-platform is going to be super dope as we enjoy the things that we enjoy. And even like when we see people leave a company, right? And you wonder, why did they leave at this point in time, right? And specifically Major Nelson, his career, 22 years, he decided at this point, you know, change and make some pivots and stuff like that. What did you think when you saw that announcement? Which I think shocked some individuals, you know, especially those who aren't in the know.
I mean, it was definitely surprising. Would I use shock? Maybe. I think it's just having a big change, especially just knowing that he's kind of been that phase, like always seeing him, always being Xbox. And then, like, you know, he's going on and trying something different with his career. But 22 years, I mean, that's a good amount of service there. I mean, I think you do get a point in your career where I want to try something new. I want to be a part of something new. I wouldn't say he was maybe unhappy. I mean, we don't know the whole backstory and the full truth as to what brought about that decision. But I can totally see after 22 years of doing that and being that face to want to try to venture out and do something. I mean, I've been working for my company for, I can't even math right now, 18 years. I'm getting to that point where I want to do something different. I don't know what. Like, I want to just try out something new. It might fail. It might not. But just to get out there. So I can understand it from that standpoint. Is it sad? Yeah. But I don't think anything he's going to do going forward isn't going to amaze us. And it's not like people aren't going to continue following along with whatever he's doing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because you know, they talk about in the military, because I was talking to my brother recently because he retired after 20 plus years. in the Air Force as a master sergeant. So we were talking recently, now recorded that conversation. That's going to be a podcast coming out soon where you have to train your replacement, right? So I remember Jeff Rubenstein. Jeff was at PlayStation, and from there, whatever conversation he had with Xbox, he made the move to Xbox, and he became one of the faces of relation when it comes to Xbox people or enthusiasts, right? Directly working with Major Nelson. And if the idea is to train your replacement, even in an environment like Xbox, then Jeff Rubenstein, you know, according to that order, would be the one that would take the helm of a lot of the stuff, right? Because I don't know if it, I don't know who would be the front person that would do the stuff. I would say it would be Jeff. Like, if you think of anybody from Xbox, who would you say?
That is hard. Of course, you choose the easy choice there.
Yeah, that's the easiest one because that's the one that's most visible to us a good portion of the time. Not saying that a lot of folks aren't visible and, you know, that could be taken, you know, in a negative way. That's not what I'm saying. So I'll just say that there. But it's for a lot of this stuff, it was Major Nelson. Xbox podcast was Major Nelson and Jeff and friends and developers and everybody, you know, and program team and lightning team and all that stuff, right? So, but it was Major Nelson for a good portion of that, at the forefront of that. But who else would you throw in there?
I don't know.
That's tough, right?
Yeah, it is, because I agree with you. Jeff seems like the clear one, but I don't, outside of him, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the official Xbox podcast, Larry Herb, Xbox Major Nelson, right? And so you would have, so the only podcast directly from Xbox and Microsoft, previously known as Major Nelson Radio, John Larry Herb, Xbox Major Nelson, Jeff Rubenstein, and Rebecca Gordius as they discuss latest dot, dot, dot. That's just a quick result from, so you have Rebecca, you have Jeff, and then you have Major Nelson, right? So I wanted to look that up real quick because I think it was necessary for the context of what we're having while we have conversation right now. But I mean, shout outs to Major Nelson. We saw him, right? Once or twice roaming the JW, right? Yeah. Doing his thing and, you know, staying busy, of course, always moving and shaking and always kind and respectful and giving us tips on how to move forward and the things that we're doing, right? Individually and collectively, or anybody who saw him, you know, he took the time if he had it to, you know, share a conversation. Even if you had a mic ready, he would, you know, give you a few minutes of his time, depending on what time that was. And I've always appreciated that, just watching him and even interacting with him. Any memories of Major Nelson?
He just seemed so humble and kind, just kind of like you were saying. He just took the time to talk. I'm not going to be the person that's like, yes, I know Larry Herb. But... in the few passings, yeah, he was just really nice and kind. So I know he's on to good things because of that. I mean, who wouldn't want to work with somebody like him?
Yeah, I definitely want to pay close attention to the next thing for him. Because he's, I mean, definitely a pillar in a lot of different areas for not just Xbox, but how things should be done. You know, like, everything that he's done publicly has been like stellar, you know, to me, right? To me, you know, how he presented himself, how he carried himself online, how he presented himself in like the live streams and the showcases and all those things. And I'm sure he trained or helped train a lot of people, you know, with knowledge and wisdom to move forward in the industry. So we'll see. We'll see who comes out of that and who takes the helm. I'm sure it's going to be more than one person, you know, with the amount of knowledge and that he's given over the years. So 22 years is a lot. And yeah. Any final thoughts on that? We'll end on shout outs to Major Nelson. We'll end on that. Any final thoughts before we wrap?
No. Just excited to see what his next step is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. That's all we have for episode 642. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate you. And Daniela, where can they find you?
You can find me on all the social medias at Miss DJM. And where can they find you, Andrew?
You can find me at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And until next time, take care.
Bye, guys.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.